Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service today, this Sunday, the 24th of May. It's the Sunday after Ascension Day. And today in our service, we're going to be continuing to think about our Lord's ascension into heaven, his return to his heavenly Father after he had risen from the dead. I guess when I was thinking about today's service, the question that came to my mind is, how do we make sense of supernatural events that we cannot rationally explain? And in particular, my question is, what does this event invite us to do or to be part of? That's what we're going to be trying to figure out in our service today. I also am delighted to say that later on in our service, we are so pleased that some of the church leaders from the main Christian denominations will be leading us in our prayers at our service today. And that's a good opportunity to remind you about the 10 days of prayer for our diocese that are ongoing. You can access messages from your phone line for the next week or so by dialing 028-9124-9395. That's 028-9124-9395. And you'll find that most days over the coming week, there will be special messages that have been recorded by the bishop or by others for different groups in our diocese. And you'll find those messages through that phone line, or you can also find them through the diocesan website, www.downandremore.org, or you can also find all the details on our own parish website, www.stfinians.org, or on the parish Facebook page. As part of a church family, we are a group of people that prays together when we worship together, and even when we're apart, we pray, and that's an important part of what we do. And could I ask that today you might remember from our parish family the family of Herbie Seeds in your prayers. Herbie died on Wednesday past, and so I ask you please to pray for his wife Margaret, his sons Michael and Jonathan, his daughter-in-law Pamela, and all of their families at a time of very sad loss. I'm also going to ask you to pray further afield for all who have been affected by last Thursday's typhoon in India and Bangladesh. It is so difficult to deal with natural disaster in the midst of this pandemic, and particularly for communities that are already struggling through poverty and challenging living conditions. So can you please remember the people in that region at this time in your prayers? Our opening hymn today is a wonderful hymn of praise, inviting us all to glorify the risen, ascended Lord Jesus. Crown him with many crowns.
Our Father, heavenly anthem, ground.
Our Bible reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 6. And in this reading, as we hear of Jesus responding to some spiritual questions before he himself left the earth and returned to his Father in heaven. I wonder, when you think about this reading and you hear the words today, I wonder how you would have felt if you were there with the disciples when these events took place. So reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 6. So when the disciples met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here ends our Bible reading. So may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the years that I have been going to church, some of the services that have touched me most deeply have been ones that have been led by children and young people. And I love the way that they have just got up to share prayers written from their hearts, or even as they get a bit older, to say something to all the congregation about why their faith is important to them. I really love the recent messages shared by some of our Sunday school as they shared these messages on the church's Facebook page during lockdown. And in their wonderful prayers, the children prayed for people who are in hospital at the moment suffering with coronavirus. They prayed for Amy, our church warden, and they prayed for a whole host of other things for their families, their friends, in all the beautiful messages they shared on the church's Facebook page. And perhaps the reason that these kinds of services and messages touch me is that they try to bridge one of the biggest gaps in the Church of Ireland. Would you like to know what that gap is? Well, the gap is the gap that exists between me and you, between clergy and people. And in the Church of Ireland, by and large, we have grown up with a model of church that the clergy are deemed to be the religious professionals, and the people are there to absorb whatever it is that is shared at any particular service. I remember on one occasion visiting my home church in rural Ireland on a Sunday off. The lay reader, a local farmer, was taking the service as the rector was away, and he came down before the service started to apologize to me that what he had to share might not be good enough when there were clergy present. And it's almost as if those with collars around their neck are esteemed to be the only people with a spiritual life and with the credibility to share that spiritual life with others. Well, thank God that folks like that lay reader, one of our local farmers, and our children and young people dispel that myth completely and they blow it out of the water. How incredibly powerful it is for any of us to hear about God's work in a human life. So when we hear a young person stand up and give their views on the strengths and weaknesses of the church as they experience it, or when we hear a farmer share his thoughts on the Bible readings for that day, or when we hear someone stand up and share with the congregation that they have invited Jesus into their lives at a big event they were at, and why they feel it's important to have faith in today's world, these are incredibly powerful messages to share. I have to confess, as I did last Thursday when I was thinking about this same passage, that by and large, the incident before us today has me stumped. How do we explain the ascension of our Lord into heaven? How do we relate it to the realities of our daily lives in lockdown? How difficult we find it as human beings to describe a religious or indeed a supernatural experience with the fragility and limitations of our words. I'm often really fascinated by various journeys that we see in the Bible. And today what I'm interested in is a short walk, what was called a Sabbath day's walk, a distance of about 3/4 of a mile from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. Now, it was the Jewish custom to do no work on the Sabbath day and to restrict normal activities like walking or journeying. And so this was the regulation that people would not walk more than a mile or so on the Sabbath day. And the disciples take this journey, they take this walk after having an unbelievable religious experience on the Mount of Olives. They have seen Jesus taken from among them in a cloud as he returns to his Father in heaven. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been promised to them to continue to do his work on earth. But first of all, they need to go back and they need to wait for this gift in Jerusalem. And then angels have appeared to them as they stand staring into the sky, unsure as to how to react to what they have just seen. And we, reading about these events thousands of years later, we wonder to ourselves, how do we interpret all of this? What about this cloud that we hear about? Did Jesus just float up to heaven? Where did he physically go? Was he there one moment talking to them and then gone the next? Was it absolutely terrifying for these first disciples to hear what the angels had to say to them? And you know, the simple answer to all of these questions is, I do not know. And I think it would be a bit foolish for me to try to offer an explanation for something that I don't fully understand myself. Now, we're not told what the disciples said on their way back to Jerusalem on that Sabbath day's walk. But I would love to have been a fly on the wall, listening in on their conversation. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, tells us in his own gospel that these first disciples returned to Jerusalem full of joy. Now, I can only suggest to you some reasons for that joy as we look at their reaction. There is a sense in Luke's gospel that in this very final act of leaving the disciples and ascending to the Father, that Jesus has at last fulfilled the work his Father had sent him to do. And he fulfilled this work through dying on the cross and rising again to defeat the power of sin and death over us. And yet the disciples, despite spending the previous 3 years with Jesus, seem to have been more focused on the building of this earthly kingdom, based on power and defeating the military power of the Romans. And yet Jesus spoke of a different kingdom. They stand, these first disciples, looking up into the sky while the angels tell them gently to focus on the mission Jesus has for them on the earth, to bring healing and hope and salvation to a broken world. There's a wonderful initiative that was advertised on the church's Facebook this page to telephone or to Zoom patients in one of the COVID-19 wards in the Ulster Hospital. Many people are finding their days in hospital long and lonely as their families are not permitted to visit. But are there people listening in this morning who might be able to offer those supportive phone calls to reassure people in a frightening situation that they will pray for them and stay in touch with them in their time in hospital? I think there are some people who would do a brilliant job at that. And I think all of this advice that Jesus gives through the angels speaking to the first disciples is quite a good corrective to us who consider ourselves religious people, to concentrate on those values Jesus himself shared with us, and to get out there and to do what he was about. There was a joy in knowing that Jesus had fulfilled the work of his Father. There was also a joy in knowing that they, as believers, were being called to continue his mission on the earth. In other words, his work was not reserved for the religious professionals, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests in the temple. No. Instead, he, Jesus, was giving this incredible power of the Holy Spirit to rough fishermen and to tax collectors and to business people and to all of us today who have been baptized and opened our lives to him so that we too might share in his work today. I have to say that I've been really tremendously encouraged to hear of the work that this church is continuing to do. The doors may be locked, the building may be closed, but the church is very much open and alive for business. And so people from this congregation have been praying for one another. They've been praying for me. They have been phoning one another. They have been encouraging one another through these unprecedented times. And to me, whenever people of 7 or 17 or 97 share something of their experience of God, they are doing exactly as Jesus asked them to do. They're being obedient. They're trying to put words on their experience in the hope that those experiences can help and encourage others to know God better. And surely there is no more exciting or worthwhile task in all of the world. Amen. So now I'm going to invite you to bow your head, to close your eyes, as our church leaders lead us in our prayers today.
Good morning to everyone in the diocese. I've been given the privilege of leading you in prayer. Lord God, as the season of Pentecost approaches, we remember your fire came upon the apostles gathered together in one place. We remember that fire burns inwardly. Lord, please warm the hearts of all your people in this diocese. Kindle the flame of sacred love in every heart, and may we all be consumed by your grace and goodness, truth and holiness. Fire also travels upwardly. Come afresh, Lord, upon every parish. Release worship and adoration. May relationship with the living flame triumph over ritual and routine. And lastly, fire extends outwardly. Lord, just as the flames spread, remind us of the importance of outreach. Forgive us when we become parochial and insular, rather than kingdom-focused and outward-looking. Give us a vision for this island home and much further afield, that countless millions will come to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Wind of the Spirit, fan the living flame. Lord, send your fire. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that in this time with so much bad news, we're also hearing good news stories about community coming together to support one another. Lord, make us your people supernaturally equipped to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Father God, we give you thanks for every person who's serving our community as a key worker. Medical staff and shelf stackers, emergency services and couriers, farmers and postal workers, God, give them your protection, give them energy, give them resilience. And Lord, for those who find themselves unemployed or set aside, we ask you to protect their minds from depression and despair. May the safety net of our society catch them, and may they find their sense of identity and worth and purpose in you. Amen. And Lord Jesus, I ask for your blessing on this particular branch of your family, the church, the Diocese of Down and Dromore. Mould them and shape them. Empower them to be everything that you are calling them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we take time today to pray for the churches across the island of Ireland. We pray your strength and wisdom to fill each leader, pastor and minister. We lift the Diocese of Down and Dromore to you specifically today and ask for blessing and wisdom in every leader, and especially for Bishop David and his family at this time. These are precarious times that we're living in, and we can no longer lead from our old ways, memories or traditions. We need a fresh imagination to lead our people well, and more importantly, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in these days. We pray against COVID-19 and any other thing that would bring sickness and hindrance to the advancement of your kingdom. May your people rise with fresh power. May the Holy Spirit refresh and renew and baptize us all over again. May your church rise out of this pandemic with a fresh confidence and strengthen you, renewed and refined. We know that it's not by might, nor is it by strength, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we thank you that you're building your church, and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against it. Thank you that according to Ephesians 1:4, that we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, chosen for such a time as this. These things we pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Father, your Son Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about everywhere doing good. He showed care for the needy. He healed the sick, curing all kinds of diseases. He delivered those held captive by any sort of bondage. Be with your church. Anoint us with the Holy Spirit and with power. Strengthen us to pursue the mission of Jesus today. Give us caring hearts, that we may show compassion to the afflicted. Let us not think of what we lack, but of the good we can do for those who are suffering in mind, heart, soul, or body. Lighten your children's burdens. Be their refuge in trials, their strength in sickness, their comfort in sorrow. May they experience your loving kindness through us. It is where brothers and sisters are united that you give your blessing. May we pursue life's journey together. Join in integrity of faith and unite in the bond of love all those whom one Spirit has consecrated. Upon your faithful people of the Church of Down and Dromore, who have been fervently united in prayer, animated by holy hope, throughout these past weeks, send forth anew your Holy Spirit. May your love be poured into their hearts. May they be one. May we all be one, so that the world may believe.
And so we bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, our exalted King, pour on you his abundant gifts, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our service today. And just a little reminder that tomorrow, Monday, if you connect into the Diocesan Prayer Focus through that phone line, you'll find the event that's happening is called Worship Rooms. And there'll be a special focus in the message that we hear about being a worshiping diocese. On Wednesday of this week, there'll be a message about praying with the litany, and the prayer focus is on youth and children. Now, just before we close by singing our final hymn, I want to say a special word of congratulations as we wish one of our older and greatly respected church members, Wilson Crawford, a very happy birthday today. Wilson impacted so many generations of boys through leading the Life Boys and the Boys Brigade here over many years. And he and his wife, Jean, have been such a blessing to all our congregation with their hospitality, their kindness, and their prayers. So today, Wilson, we salute you and we congratulate you as you celebrate 21 plus years with lots of love and best wishes from your church family here in St. Finian's. Our closing hymn today was written by someone touched afresh by all that Jesus had done for them, and wrote these beautiful words in our closing hymn, "My song is love unknown."